It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Welcome on in as we kick things off with a man who had himself a very good weekend. James Empey, kind enough to join us on the Smart Ring guest line. James, how are you?
Hey, James.
Hello. And there went James Empey.
You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't matter because it's a beautiful Monday.
Yes, it is.
The sun is out. It's gorgeous weather. It was a big time weekend, man.
What a week it was.
Just NFL and college football extraordinaire, extravaganza, however you want to put it. And I did consume a lot of football. Hours and hours and hours of football.
You know, on Saturday, watched a lot of, you know, obviously the Utah BYU. On the air till about 3 a.m. taking phone calls. You did a tremendous job, and shout out to all of our staff as well that hopped on the postgame show. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun to be a part of. And then you think, okay, I'm just gonna relax. I'm not gonna take in any more football. And then I was like, another 10, 12 hours of football yesterday. Yeah.
Well, where did you spend most of your time? Broncos?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, actually.
Broncos had a good game.
They looked – that's what happens when you play a really trashy team.
No, well –
sometimes you look good.
Bridgewater looked okay.
He made a couple plays out there that
I was
shocked by, honestly.
The NFL altogether, I thought, was fantastically entertaining. And I'm excited for tonight, a little Monday Night Football tonight with the Oakland Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. Should be another good game, but there was just so many storylines. You know who I really focused in and watched? Aaron Rodgers. I wanted to see how his summer with the actress would lead to an opening part of his season. So,
spoiler alert, it didn't end well.
It's in the ugly for the day.
All right, let's bring in James Empey on the Smart Ring guest line. James, how are you?
Hey, James.
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well. We're not as good as you are. Congratulations. That had to be fun to get that monkey off the back.
Oh, man, it was Saturday. A whole lot of fun, and still stoked about it.
So what did you do to celebrate the weekend? After? I mean, I guess you guys wrapped that thing up extremely late on Saturday. What do you do, just dress up, go to church on Sunday, have a little Sunday dinner with Dad? How do you celebrate that on a Sunday?
Yeah, went to church and then just hung out with the family. Everybody was happy to be together, and it was fun.
When you there were a lot of things I think people were expected to see and were looking forward to seeing that BYU Utah game, but there's one that I think took a lot of people by surprise, that both BYU's offensive line and defensive line really, really controlled the trenches. Did you go into that game knowing that you guys would have as much success in the trenches as you did?
Well, prepare was going to be really important to, you know, have play physical, and that a lot of rely on our, you know, part of getting the job done. So, you know, we knew that, you know, we had to get it done. And how about our defense just coming out and playing like they did and getting a couple of takeaways early, giving us some good field position and just playing hard all game, man. I'm so proud of the way those guys fought and then just the way our boys played. You know, I thought things.
You know, I could have given that game ball to a lot of different people across the board, and I ended up having to give the game balls to Elisa Tuiaki and Aaron Roderick, the two coordinators, because, as you mentioned, your defense was lights out. The selection of blitzing and zone coverage and man and everything that they did defensively, there were so many different change-ups. How excited was that defense in that locker room afterwards, James?
Well, we got a bad line with James Empey.
Well, we'll get something figured out here.
You know what? With the NIL deal, he's let's get our guys at Verizon. Somebody give my guy give my guy a new phone.
This interview brought to you by Verizon. You know, the defense game plan was fantastic. You brought up a really good point there in the interview, Scotty. They had a beautiful game plan, and they just imposed their will with the game plan. It's not even that Aaron Roderick dipped really deep into the bag of tricks.
No. Nope.
It was a pretty form game plan. Utah, in one of the most recent videos that I just tweeted out, because I was getting ready for the interview this morning and getting ready, obviously, to break down this game a little bit. But it's just a basic zone read, and it's third and one. And everybody's got responsibilities on zone read. It's not rocket science to defend against zone read. It does make everybody think, but if you have your assignment, you know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And BYU just imposed their will. Jaren Hall's athleticism forced defenders into bad angles. Isaac Rex takes really good steps, has really good blocks on the outside. And it was that third and one where Jaren ends up breaking it on the outside. His touchdown was called back, but he showed that speed down the side. I put a video up because I was teasing James Impey coming on the show this morning. I put a video up of just the quarterback draw.
Yeah.
It's just a quarterback draw. You know, if linebackers do their job and shed a block, they're going to get a tackle for maybe a two-yard gain. Instead, James Impey grabs the linebacker and drives him into the ground, and that draw goes for 13, 14 yards. They just imposed their will up front, and it was very impressive.
Justin Rice back with us once again right here on 97.5. James Empey. I was just reading about Justin Rice here. James Empey joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. And, James, when you in the middle of a game that's so emotional, how quickly do the emotions of pregame and the week building up, how much does that wear off in the middle of the game? I mean, is it the first hit, the first series, and you realize, okay, this is just another game. Let's just get it dialed in and let's do this thing.
You know, it's probably different for everybody. For me, it's as soon as you kind of step on the field for warmups and you're finally at the stadium and you finally get to get things going. That's when it just kind of is like, all right, here we go. Time to play a football game and let's get it dialed in. And, you know, each person might have a different answer to that question, but by the time you're playing, for sure, everybody's ready to go and locked in. And it's Saturdays are fun, man. It's every chance you get. It's a blast.
You've played a lot of games for BYU. You've played a lot of games in that stadium. Where did this one rank as far as environment? You know, you got the 9/11 celebrations and remembrance, and then you've got that packed house. Where did this one rank for you in terms of games and stadium environments?
It was definitely up there, man. And like you said, they had everything just right, from, you know, just the event staff and all the stadium staff and everything that they did. The grass was great. The, you know, all the pregame stuff was awesome. You know, being able to honor 9/11, you know, that's always fun. And just having a packed house at LaVell Edwards Stadium again, it was, you know, great environment, so fun. And then we were able to get a win in a big game. And, you know, I thought it was just a blast.
You know, it was interesting. You mentioned your defense. They got two early turnovers, but you were only able to convert those two turnovers into 3 points. And I thought, this could be a problem, because there's opportunities that BYU's not taking advantage of. But as the game wore on, it just felt like, you know, you were the more physical team. You were the more dominant team. You know, the whole proverbial you wanted it more just seemed to be in play. Did you get that vibe around the team all week long that this was going to be a special performance?
Yeah, man, the guys all week put in a lot of work, and you know, by the time game time rolled around, we really felt like we were prepared and ready to go. And so you know, we knew it was going to be a fight, it always is, you know, with these games. So we were just ready for it and ready to go four quarters, and you know, we were able to get it done.
You know, James, I went back this morning, watched a little bit of film, and I was watching some of the Utah pass rush, and it looked like they were jamming you guys and trying to sit in lanes and try to contain Jaren, almost the way they played it against Zach Wilson a couple years ago. Was there the defensive game plan that you saw specifically? Was there an attempt to try to corral Jaren and keep him in the pocket?
I think there was a little bit. I mean, anytime you have a quarterback that can move pretty well on his feet and get out of trouble, they have to respect that and keep good passing lanes. I thought those guys got in pretty good pass rushes, and I was proud of the way, you know, the O-line handled them. And, you know, it's always great to have Jaren back there when he's able to get out of trouble and make something happen on his feet too. So, you know, you love blocking for a guy like that because sometimes he can make up for, you know, your mistakes.
Were you seeing quite a mix of blitz? Were you seeing quite a mix of personnel? Or was it pretty base in what you guys expected coming into this game?
Yeah, I mean, Utah's style of defense, they play really tough. They bring, you know, a variety of pressures, but they like to just kind of do their thing and you know, play style defense with who they have in there, you know what I mean? So, but when we started the game, we saw a bunch of pressure. They had some blitzes that we saw on film, but they just were kind of applying them in different ways and keeping a variety going. So they definitely kept us on our toes, and they got home a few times. So, you know, we have our work cut out for us every week in preparing for those things and trying to, you know, give Jaren and those guys as much time as we possibly can.
You know, everybody that watches football, they love the final drive when you're down four and you have to go 75 yards and score a game-winning touchdown. But to me, the impressive drives are when, like the one you had, Utah scores a touchdown. It's a one-possession game, and you guys march right down the field, a lot of it on the ground, and you score the touchdown and essentially put the game out of reach at that point. Talk us through that drive and what it's like when you're able to run the ball and you got Katoa and you got Algier and Jaren getting the mix, running the game, running the ball. What's that like when you can just dominate on a big drive like that and put the game away?
Oh, well, that drive at the end of the game, that was awesome. I thought everybody stepped up right at the right time that we needed to. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, it's a one-possession game, and we needed to make something happen so that we could get a little bit more distance in that lead again. And we were able to take a bunch of time off the clock, have a great drive, and get down. And, you know, Jake Oldroyd, just easy field goal, pops it right in, and, you know, we were feeling good about it. And so those kind of drives, just where, you know, you feel everything clicking right at the right time. I thought everybody did a great job at just making sure they were ready to, you know, do their job and make the play when we needed it. We were able to get it done.
So one thing that Scotty and I were really excited about to get you on air every Monday after a game coming out of the weekend is to kind of give you an opportunity to give BYU fans, football fans in general, a peek into a locker room on a post game, a celebration or a conversation, because everybody was there. You know, that thing is jam packed and everybody's having their own little post game party. But what happens in that locker room? You guys come off the field. Kind of take us through. Do you sit and wait? Does Kalani come in? Like, who's addressed and how does that go? And what was said when you finally got going in the post game?
Yeah, well, when we finally got going is the key word there. We, you know, the fans stormed the field, and you had to wiggle your way out of that the big mosh pit in the middle of the field. And, you know, you get off, and I went, and everybody, you know, kind of had the same idea. We went and hung out with our families for a minute, and were able to soak in, you know, the atmosphere and the wind with those guys. And so I had to go find my wife and my parents and siblings and just go hang out with them for a minute. And then once everybody got into the locker room, man, the vibe was good. Everybody was there just waiting for, you know, everybody else to make their way back in. And yeah, it was a party. I mean, as far as who addressed us, coach addressed us, you know, talked about, you know, certain players that had a big game. We recognized all the coordinators, both A-Rod and E and Coach Lamb on special teams and for their role and having us prepared. And then just, you know, had a dance party, and it was a good time.
When you dance, are you dancing, or are you just kind of letting everybody else do their thing?
So I was too tired to dance, man, so I was just kind of letting everybody else do their thing. But we got it going a little bit. We got to watch E dance and A-Rod dance and all those guys. And then I think we finished with the electric slide, so that was a blast.
There you go. Oh, Lyman can do that electric slide. That's, you guys can make that one work. Right. You know, that you talk about Aaron Roderick, and I know you know his story, and you know the, how much time he spent at the University of Utah, and then coming to BYU and getting that offense cranking the way it is. Just how happy are you for a guy like that to be able to have such a big night with your offense clicking the way it was?
I'm so pumped for him. I've known A-Rod a really long time, and he recruited me back when he was at Utah, and, you know, he puts his heart into the game, and you can tell how hard he works and how much he, you know, cares for us and how we do. So, you know, just so happy for him. Happy that that we were able to perform the way we did and make things happen. And I really think he was locked in for this game and so prepared, you know, as a coordinator, getting us prepared and as a play caller. And so just happy that, you know, he's on our side and happy for him.
So now you have to refocus, and you have to get yourself ready for a very difficult Arizona State game. It's another late kick. It's there at LaBelle Edwards Stadium, so you get a nice home game follow-up against another Pac-12 opponent. Have you jumped into game film yet with Arizona State, or has it all just been review for Utah, and where are you at in your preparation? How do you feel about Arizona State?
Yeah, so, you know, I reviewed Utah yesterday, and obviously we'll review as a team today. But I already kind of jumped on the film a little bit. I like the way these guys play. They play hard. They're a physical team, and especially I haven't watched much offense yet, but just on the defensive side of the ball, I think they do a lot of good things, a lot of tricky things. They play hard. They're physical. So, you know, we definitely have our work cut out for us this week as we kind of, you know, turn the corner and start preparing for these guys. And, you know, love that at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Love that we'll have, you know, Cougar Nation back at it, and just excited to get started.
You win a game like that, I mean, you're on a high and everybody's fired up, and then you realize, hey, we got 10 more of these to go. I mean, we're barely getting this season started. Are you worried all about a figurative hangover after a game like that, or do you feel like these guys are ready to go and you'll put this one behind you and look forward to next week?
Yeah, I'm confident in my teammates, and I trust them. I trust our coaches, and I know we'll be able to get it dialed in as you know, we prepare. And like I was saying earlier, we have our work cut out for us. I think this is a really good team, and, you know, we'll have our chance to prepare and get ready to go. But, you know, I trust my teammates and my coaches, and I think we'll be able to get it dialed in and be ready to go by Saturday.
You know, James, there were a couple of performances by some wideouts that I know were banged up. You know, you watched Neil Powell come back. He had a boot on in a picture that he posted on Instagram. You know, Gunnar Romney, we all know what happened to him in that Arizona game. Puka Nacua finally getting back on the field. Were there just guys pushing through pain and injury, just refusing to sit out for this game? Or were most of these guys just ready to go? It felt like there were a lot of guys that kind of pushed through some misery that they were going through.
Yeah, man, we have some tough guys, and those guys that you mentioned, they you know, specifically, they came out and were ready to go regardless of what was going on and regardless of how they were feeling. And I was proud of those guys. Like you mentioned, you know, Gunnar and Neil, they came out hurt, but there's tons of guys that were, you know, playing a little banged up. Football's a tough game, man. You gotta be ready to go, even if you're not feeling 100%. And, you know, I'm just proud of the way our team played, and especially the way those guys played, even a little banged up.
Well, James, man, we appreciate it. Congratulations. Heck of a W, heck of a win, and look forward to catching up again next week. Good luck against Arizona State.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet, James.
You got it. James Empey, right here on the Zone Sports Network, joins us every Monday right out of the gate at 10 a.m.
Once we got the phone lines dialed in, things went a little bit better there. James had a heck of a game. I know that they're doing film review. They did self-review probably yesterday. They'll do team review today. They'll probably get their grades today. But just watching back three quarters this morning, James Empey, I did not see a true misstep by James. They didn't really heavily attack that those two A gaps. They didn't really push hard on James, but James in blitz pickups, in second line of defense, in in front side combos. I would say that he's going to grade out in the high 90s. He's gonna get himself a really nice grade off that game. And he's just steady. I don't know if you saw that, you know, quick 20-second clip I tweeted out of him on that quarterback draw. He's just steady. All of his steps are stable and steady. He's a draft pick. I don't know where he'll be selected in the draft. If he stays healthy and continues to play like this, like I've seen him play against Arizona and Utah, he's probably somewhere around a fourth round, back in the fourth round, beginning of fifth round pick, and could certainly work himself up higher, because the country is going to get a chance to see him against Arizona State, yeah, against USC, against Boise State, against Baylor. Who else am I missing? Virginia.
I mean, you go down the list. There's some good name opponents, and that's why he's back at BYU, mm-hmm, is because, and again, I'm not knocking BYU as a whole against level of competition, but the scouts, and James Empey mentioned this at BYU Media Day, that the scouts told him, like, look, you probably get drafted. You know, you could be a 6th, 7th round guy. You come back, and with that schedule you're facing, and show what you can do individually against some of these Power 5 schools and some of these Power 5 defensive linemen, I could really elevate your stock. And I took that to heart. And so far, he's 2-0 against the Pac-12, 2-0 against defensive lines. And that BYU offensive line, I know we'll talk about it at length today, but what BYU did in the trenches, just I never in a million years saw that coming. And Kyle Whittingham said afterwards, I would have bet my house that we would have fared far better in the trenches than what we did.
It's really, I think all of us kind of thought that Utah would do better in the trench. I did mention that contained style rush.
Yeah.
And they, just in the film, they definitely ran, Utah ran a contained style rush.
I mentioned that to you in the post game show, and you said you're going to go take a look at it.
And I did.
And it felt that way, right?
There was a lot of contained style rush.
Yeah.
Especially off three techniques. They were banging guards, and then they would step back and make sure that they've got some gap protection. The crazy thing is, though, Scotty, and I was just talking to a very prominent coach, and you know who I was talking to just before I came in, asking me for some help.
Yeah.
He said to me, I am shocked that Utah's defense looked like they had not prepared for simple things like a zone read.
Yeah.
Where a defensive end pounds down, has to flatten out and watch for that quarterback keep, and instead just pounds down and keeps his head buried. I'll give you another for instance. Okay, this is I you know what? I've got this video on my phone. I'll tweet this out for people. So, and this will show that rush that I'm talking about. It's just that bang and sit rush. You hit your guy, and then you gather, and then you watch the quarterback, and if he makes any type of dramatic move your way, you make sure you corral him and force him back in. So number 7 defensive end for Utah comes off. He's got edge contain. He hits the offensive tackle. He's sitting on the outside, and he takes a step to the inside off of a contained rush. He takes a step to the inside. Jaron sees it and bounces to the outside and runs for like 14, 15 yards. And you scratch your head and you think, you're on a contained rush. Did you even practice that? Like, why would you stick your nose into a gap that you're not responsible for? Because that led to that was a third down conversion,
yeah,
too.
Yep, big one.
That was a huge third down conversion when Jaron slipped to the outside. So I'll tweet that. It kind of shows, even on a 3rd and 9, it was a 3rd and 9, even on a 3rd and 9, when you would think defensive linemen are pinning their ears back and it's an all-man rush, they were still running a contained rush, trying to keep Jaron contained, and Jaron was making them pay.
That's what really blew me away in this game. And look, BYU won the game. It's not one of those where Utah lost the game, not BYU. BYU absolutely won this game, 100%. They were more physical. They were well-prepared. They were when it was like a 9-point game, it felt like it was a 20-point game the whole time. It really felt as if it was just domination. even though the score really wasn't out of reach in a big way, it just felt like BYU's not losing this game. There's no way BYU's going to lose this game. And that's what's surprising to me, though, is just how lackluster Utah looked. They didn't look there emotionally. They didn't look there physically. And I can't – that just is not a Kyle Whittingham rivalry game. It kind of feels like the last, you know, the last couple bowl games that, that Utah's played in, because they never lose bowl games. Well, they've lost last couple. You know, it's – and you're like, well, wait a minute. What's going on? This doesn't seem right. This isn't a Kyle Whittingham team.
Didn't look like it, did it?
Yeah.
It looked different. They felt different. And defensively, I was surprised nobody stood out defensively. The only guy that even stood out to me in the first three quarters that I watched this morning was Mekhi Bernard.
Yeah, yep.
He was doing everything he could. He was running his butt off. But, Scotty, I know we'll jump out and we'll get our thing done here, but just something as simple as what I thought Charlie Brewer was able to do in blitz. We saw it multiple times against Weber State. The blitz would come, and he would hit the drop-off point. The Chaz IU interception, you know, to start the game?
Yep.
Okay. That was a heavy man rush. I think it was a six-man blitz. I think they brought six guys, and they had five in some type of coverage, and there was a nice underneath route, just a quick out, probably about an eight-yard out that Charlie Brewer, under pressure, would have hit 10 out of 10 times against Weber State. For some reason, against BYU, he overthrows that route, and it ends up in Chaz IU's arms.
Yeah.
Why? Well, I don't know. I don't get it. It's bizarre. Yeah, there's pressure, but we've seen this 100 times. We saw it for Baylor. We saw it now for University of Utah against Weber State. But all of a sudden, Charlie Brewer can't throw under pressure. He can't throw with the blitz in his face and overthrows a pretty simple route. All he's got to do is dump it underneath. Yeah. The one thing you can't do right there, because you're bringing the blitz and you're holding over top, the one thing you can't do is overthrow that route.
Yep.
So if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to just throw it in the dirt and let him scoop it.
Yeah.
But he overthrows it.
He overthrows it. Yep, I get it.
Into Chaz IU's arms.
I mean, I can't make any sense of it.
I can't either.
Yep.
The team looked out of sorts, unprepared, uninspired.
Yep, and BYU was the opposite in all of that, and again went in there and ripped that game away.
Is this the first time we've seen Lavelle Edwards Stadium maybe just play a huge? Because it was.
No, I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right.
I feel like the fans played a role in the juice of everything. I think Kalani Sitake had this team just rocking and rolling. But it felt like that right out of the gates, they just wanted to impress. They wanted to get the crowd in it. And you know, I was just watching back this morning. I'm like, that crowd is nuts.
Yeah.
It was one of the best football environments we've seen in a couple of years with COVID. And even going back to last year, 2018, I felt like it was the best crowd.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time to check in with Ryan as we are hanging out here at Tri-Day Trading. How are you, man?
How you doing,
good.
Ryan?
How you guys doing?
How are you, man? How was the weekend? How'd the football weekend treat you?
Hey, worked out the way it should have. Worked out the way it should have.
We are here in Utah County, and you got a big smile on your face. How much fun was that game?
It was great. You know, it's a lot of pain washed away by that one night.
Years and years of pain.
Yes.
I will say, though, that here at Tri-Day Trading, they do not discriminate. They want to help everybody make money. And that's what you guys are doing. This is a software that is built to help you day trade and make money. That's the base of Tri-Day Trading, right, Ryan?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, there's just so many unknown things that are going on right now that could affect whether you go to work tomorrow or maybe you don't. You know, with the pandemic, there's just so many things up in the air that this is another opportunity to kind of take more control back yourself. You know, an opportunity to have another skill, to find another way to bring in an income, to supplement what you're doing, to add to it, to potentially replace it. You know, and that's what I'd throw out there at this point is, it's worth it to get out there, know how this works, see if it's for you, and move forward. And we do that with that free trial.
That's what I really love about what you do, because it's a free, a $10 test drive. That's it. And that $10 goes to charity, too.
Yeah, so it's a $10 donation. And then for those 30 days, you know, we're going to assign you somebody one-on-one to work with you, to answer your questions, to really just give you a chance to try it out, play around, and find out if it's something you can do.
You're going to get hours and hours and hours of training for just $10. And then at the end of the 30 days, if it's right for you, great. If not, then you guys pat them on the back and say, hey, we're here if you want to come back. We'd love to chat with you again. But there is no pressure whatsoever if it doesn't feel right for you. But if it does, you have a chance to really benefit your quality of life.
Benefit, make a difference, and in the end, trade our money. The people that decide to continue on and want to learn more and do those things, we in essence become partners in a lot of ways.
Just go to TriDayTrading.com. That's TriDayTrading.com. You can register for a webinar. If you've got more questions about making money through the day trading process and with the TriDay Trading software, they can all be answered in live time with questions on the webinar. Or you'll see it right there. You've got attend a webinar. You've got the 30-day trial. You can click on that 30-day trial. That's going to take you through the process of the $10 donation. And it's easy, and within a couple of weeks, you're going to know if this fits you.
That's the best part. You're not going to have to ask yourself the question anymore. Could I do this, or is it for me?
Or ask me the question, because Scotty and I get asked constantly from people.
Yeah, we'll spend the time to start where you start. No experience necessary. Just sign up. We'll get you taken care of, and we'll answer the questions you have.
TriDayTrading.com. Let's go. TriDayTrading.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Ready. It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. Hey, after a disappointing loss in the Holy War, the Utes look to rebound as they hit the road to square off against an old Mountain West Conference rival in San Diego State. Catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 4, with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
The 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is a beautiful Monday. You can feel the change in the air, Hans. It's fall.
Mm-hmm.
Life is good. Even if you're a Utah fan, you shrug it off. You're like, hey, you know what? That game doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
I don't know about you, but I felt like Utah fans have handled it pretty graciously. Yep. I'm sure BYU fans largely disagree, but and I don't have a ton of interaction anymore on social media because it's become so demonstrative. It's just not an enjoyable place to be. But from the interactions that I've had, it does feel like Utah fans are like, yeah, there's no question. They out-prepared and outperformed from every single angle.
There's probably some Utah fans who decided, I'm not going to go do the block on Sunday. I'm just going to stay home.
I've got the Zoom.
I don't want to deal with it. I got the Zoom option. I'm just going to hang out at home. I'm not going to deal with that.
You know, that there's still a lot of sickness going on. I'd rather just stay home.
I'm not, with this whole COVID thing, I'm not comfortable going to church.
I do think Utah fans are handling it well. I think Utah fans want an explanation, too.
Well, if I'm a Utah fan, I mean, you're bummed out about the loss, but you know that everything you want is still ahead of you in terms of conference play, championship games, Rose Bowl, that's still all – that has not been affected in one way, shape, or form.
They can still have a phenomenal season.
Exactly. But the problem is what you saw on Saturday, is that indicative of who this team is going forward? Because if they play like that, that's a problem going into Pac-12 play.
All right, Scotty, well, let's talk about it because there are a few areas we need to talk about. I don't understand how this Utah team lost concentration on the details.
Yes.
And I apologize, you know, if the Utah coaches are listening, or if this gets back, or if the players are listening, I apologize, because I'm sure in their minds they're thinking, yeah, but, you know, like I've always talked about this. Well, 84%, our running backs graded out at 84% or 80 whatever percent in pass pro or this area and this area. Well, the problem is the mistakes were so big in areas. For instance, a small detail that is – absolutely critical in a rivalry game like this. Tavian Thomas, in I think it was their second offensive possession, he's coming down. It's just a basic gap run. It's a basic between the tackles, like, blast. It's not detailed. He doesn't have to think a ton. But he gets the ball, and he puts it in one arm. He doesn't control the points of the ball. He doesn't bring the arm over the top as he reaches contact or reaches the line of scrimmage. He knows he's coming into traffic, and that ball's still floating enough that Lorenzo Faltea, all he had to do was, as he kind of – Lorenzo did a fantastic job in setting this up, but all he has to do is just put a hand on it. He hit on the left side of Tavian Thomas and put a hand across to the right side of Tavian Thomas and just kind of tapped the ball, and it came out. That's a critical mistake, and it's a small detail. And Utah is usually focused on those details.
Yeah.
And they weren't. I talked about defending a zone read. That one that was called back, the touchdown was called back on Jaron, but it was still first down. Just the simple responsibilities of defending a zone read. And you've got a linebacker that gets himself way out of position and then just gives up the block to Isaac Rex.
Yeah.
Isaac Rex earned the block. I'm not taking it away from Isaac. But usually you see Colton Swan, Morgan Scally, and Kyle Whittingham, linebackers, fight like it's the end of their life if they don't win the battle. But instead, it was just like, oh, shoot, got the edge on me. Darn it. Well, we'll get him next time.
Aw, shucks.
And you sit there and scratch your head like, that is not indicative of what we usually see from a Utah team. And on the flip side, BYU was precise in the details. Precise. Everywhere. Coverages, blitzing, contains. You know, Utah won a couple times. They won a few times. But for the most part, BYU was so focused on the details and so controlled in the details that it looked like a complete reversal of past games. Forced turnovers, less penalties. Although there were a couple of really dumb penalties, late hits on out of bounds and those kinds of things. But Scotty, the details on Utah side of things were pretty sketchy. They're really sketchy.
Did it look like the players got it in their mind that this wasn't that big of a game?
Kind of felt like it. I mean, it's shocking to say that, but that's what it looked like out on the field. And
well, it didn't look like it was the biggest game to them as it was to BYU players.
No. Not even close.
But the problem is, you know, and if a Utah fan tries to go, well, it just doesn't matter that. Well, guess what? This isn't college basketball. Like, this is, if you want to have a team that's a special team, you don't play like that in any game whatsoever, let alone against your rival.
Yeah,
you just don't.
You don't see Alabama play something like that?
No, you don't lay an egg like that. You just don't go through the motions like that. And that was what was really surprising. And I don't know, maybe we got to wait a little bit to see if this is a concern going forward for the University of Utah. But, again, if they look like that, I don't care who you're playing in the Pac-12, you'll lose that game.
But I don't – the other thing that's so alarming about it is because it's so out of character.
Yes, that's it. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, so there's one issue. They need to look at their details and make sure moving forward, even against San Diego State, they better get these details straightened out. Okay.
By the way, you see what San Diego State did over the weekend to Arizona? Just wrecked them.
They beat them up bad.
Yeah. I mean, that Arizona team hung in there with BYU. San Diego State beat them up. The final was 38-14. It was like 35-7 at halftime.
So San Diego State's nobody you want to sleep on.
No.
And you have to go to their whatever they're – are they playing on a playground? What are they doing now?
Pretty much.
I don't even know where they
are.
Yeah,
they have their version of the quad, and so they've just kind of put some paint lines down on it.
So no fans, no ticket sales?
No, they've got fans.
They do have fans. They've got some ticket sales. I can't believe Utah's going to San Diego State, but that's going to be a brutal game. Okay, another area that we really need to look at. I'm not sure that Utah's got an answer in regards to wideouts. BYU's best corner was out of this game. Keenan Ellis, who's really, in my opinion, is their best corner, he went out in that Arizona game with a looked like a neck injury.
Yeah.
I think that there was probably – it looked maybe some concussive issues. Keenan Ellis wasn't even in this game. And at no point did I see Utah's wide receivers really threaten.
No.
Really push and threaten with speed and cuts and breaks and timing. I didn't see it. BYU, it felt like BYU, in all of their different blitz and schemes and different coverages, it felt like BYU was just smothering them. So Utah better find out an answer, figure out an answer. Because letting go of Guy Holiday and bringing in a new coach, it hasn't played real well yet. I haven't seen those receivers break out yet. The only thing I'm seeing is Freddie Whittingham and his tight ends get some work done.
Yeah.
But then I'm not even seeing enough emphasis placed on those tight ends by Andy Ludwig.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing Charlie Brewer have to hold on to the ball because nobody's clearing. Nobody's getting open.
Yeah. So you got to answer the wideout question. I don't think that they've got a Devontae Booker, Ty Jordan.
No.
John White.
Zach Moss.
I don't think they've got this in this group.
They've got guys. They've got dudes. They've just got a bunch of dudes.
They got dudes.
And that's it. Like, you don't have
no
that.
No dogs.
Yep, exactly. There's not – they're good. They're fine.
They'll get it done. They'll move the puck.
The Bernard run was awesome.
Yeah, his touchdown run.
And as you mentioned –
breaking tackles.
Had Utah won that game, that would have been a signature play in the history of this series.
Yep.
But they didn't because BYU put the clamps down.
Yep.
But, you know, Thomas is fine if he can hold on to the ball. Bernard is good, but there's not that, holy smokes, this guy's going to take over the game. Carry it 30 times and get 175 yards.
Mekhi could end up, you know, a huge yardage gain type of back. I'm talking about the draftable running back that we've seen at Utah for years.
Yep.
And it doesn't feel like they have that. And then if Charlie Brewer is going to throw like that under pressure but didn't throw like that against Weber State, I don't know if he just changed overnight. I don't know if he felt more intimidated by BYU's rush. But he did not look like that drop-off quarterback that we saw against Weber State.
No.
So, Utah fans, there are questions that need to be answered. I had a lot of people reach out to me over the weekend and say, well, can Utah still be the team that everybody thought that they could be? I don't know. The jury's out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think their heart was tested. I think that their character was tested. I think that their technique was tested. And I think that they came up short in all those categories.
Yeah.
Now, where I will know, Scotty, and where you will know, it's going to be next week at this time. 1 week from today, we will know what this Utah team's all about. San Diego State is going to force them to be good in the details, force them to run the ball well. It's going to force them to use their wideouts. It's going to force them to be more active defensively. If they answer the call against San Diego State, well, then we can start to make a case for this team. This team is so different. It's just unique the way Brewer is running it. And the jury is still out if they can be that team that a lot of us thought would win the South with Arizona State being jumbled up and USC always being overrated, which they were again.
Yeah, they were. By the way, San Diego State actually plays at Dignity Health Sports Park. It's in Carson, California. It's where the LA Galaxy play. Now, San Diego State's opening up their brand new stadium next year. So this is just a temporary home while they get into their new stadium, which apparently what I've heard is going to be awesome. But it is located on the campus of, PK, if you're listening, Cal State Dominguez Hills.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the one where I said, who gets a diploma from that bunch of shoe clerks? And he's like, my wife got her master's.
I don't know. PK has connections with every single.
Everything, yep. All right, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Ready, go!
Come on.
long decade of independence for BYU is finally over.
Let's go!
Hey, 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 hey.
As the Cougars are Big 12 bound. Keep it locked on the Zone Sports Network for all the latest breaking news. As the Cougars make the transition to the Big 12, your home for the best coverage of college football in Utah is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, make sure to join Lendrite Mortgage. They'll be live with DJ and PK Friday morning to help you get the lowest rates on your new mortgage or refinance. Listen Friday morning and visit LendriteMortgage.com for more information.
Scotty, Zach Wilson's got himself in a really bad situation.
It's called the New York Jets.
It's a really bad situation, man. Now, things went a little bit better, I think, in the parts of the fourth quarter. But in the first three quarters of this game, he couldn't set his feet to save his life. And we're talking about not being able to set your feet in a second and a half, a two-second count. He was sacked six times in this game. And not due to him being a rookie and not being able to make a read and make a throw.
Yeah.
Just due to the Jets not blocking. A lot of people, and rightfully so, would look at that and be like, he's a rookie. The coverage was, you know, it was hidden coverages.
Holding on to the ball too long.
You saw they made a big deal of Carolina switched jerseys last minute. Two players switched jerseys to try to confuse him. You know, that is a little bit of gamesmanship against a rookie, and I'm fine with that. There were some people that were saying, that should be illegal. Now, I don't care. Make the switch in your mind. If that's what you've been planning, you can make the switch in your mind. It wasn't about the coverages. It was about dudes just getting ripped in half. And Zach Wilson got sacked six times. He got hit 10 times in this game. He's on the same path. In fact, probably just a little bit more dramatic path than what we saw from the Cincinnati Bengals last year with
Joe Burrow.
And Burrow was out by game, what did you say, seven or eight, Scotty?
I think he got 10 games under his belt.
10 games. He was out by 10 games. Zach Wilson is trending that way right now. That's the direction he's trending. So what are you going to do? How are you going to change it? You're just going to continue to let this young quarterback get hit, get pushed? The quarterback, or the first touchdown that he delivered, he was pressed almost instantly. Had to roll out to his right, throw on the run. Underthrew it a little bit. It was a nice deep ball, probably 25, 30 yards through the air. But I know Zach Wilson has left the state. I know he's not really our job to analyze anymore, but I think that a lot of people around here still want to see him have success in the NFL because he's one of the few homegrown quarterbacks we've seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
Homegrown and home state, you know, where he plays in the state.
Yep. Joe Burrow last year played nine games, was sacked 32 times. You know, so that's you're looking at around, you know, 3 to 4 sacks a game. Zach Wilson got sacked six times in his first game, and Joe Burrow was getting the you know what kicked out of him.
Yeah, Joe was getting hit. I remember covering the first three or four games because I was interested how good he would do after leaving LSU, and he was probably getting hit between 8 and 12 times every game. Sacked maybe a little bit less, but I don't remember watching Joe and thinking, oh, his offensive line, they're not even blocking. I remember watching Joe and thinking, he's holding it a little bit long. Maybe he's trying to create a little bit too much. Zach Wilson was just taking shots, and he's going to be frustrated. And then the other thing that's frustrating is the the Jets receivers, tight end and receivers. There were multiple drops. He was throwing under pressure. He was trying to get rid of it, taking hits. And there were probably four drops in the first half of that game.
Wow.
In an NFL game. So hopefully the Jets can get this figured out, because that's pretty embarrassing what just happened. And oh, and then the other interesting aspect of that game was watching the quarterback that couldn't do anything with the Jets do decent with the Panthers.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Against the Jets. I mean, the NFL knew what they were doing. They were they were going to put Sam Darnold against his former team and open up the season with it. And Sam Darnold picked him apart, largely picked him apart. He even had one. It was a quarterback draw. It was a drawn-up draw.
Yeah, I saw that.
That they put in for Darnold. They were like, hey, you want to have a little fun? Go out there and show them not only can you hit a 25-yard out, you can run for a touchdown on a quarterback draw. Go ahead.
Let's go.
Go have some fun with that, bud.
As you should. If I'm an OC, I do the same thing.
See, I'd love to see Sam Darnold win an MVP. So the Jets have to look around like, okay, so we really are the embarrassment of this league, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, what can we do? Because if it trends like this, just get ready for it. Zach Wilson can't drag this team. He can't do it. There's too many good defenses, too many good rushers in this league. He is going to get ripped in half. The Jets better do something to help him.
Hey, before we go to break, I don't anticipate anybody. I mean, it's what you may have missed. It was Friday night. It was late. It was cold. It was in a rain or a lightning delay at Utah State. But so I had some time to kill. And Utah State was welcoming in some people for their Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who spent about 25 minutes with me on the pregame show? Lloyd's favorite person on the planet, Donald Penn.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Donald hung out?
And it was awesome because I almost
Hey, Lloyd, man, you f***ing up, man.
Donald loves Lloyd.
I came really close, and I feel bad. I should, because he saw me. He's all like, hey, where's that bleep and bleep guy of yours? And I'm like, who? He goes, the guy I tried to call. He remembered it like that.
Did he really?
Yeah. And so I should have had him call Lloyd again.
But I want Lloyd to meet him.
But I was a little nervous that Lloyd would pick up. Like, I wanted another voicemail, but I figured Lloyd would pick up, and then we'd have a nasty. Because then Lloyd would talk about him and maybe how he ended his career with the Raiders, and then it would get really uncomfortable.
Wait. You really thought Lloyd would actually answer a call from either one of us?
Huh. Be a little shocking.
Yeah, it would be.
Hey, Lloyd, man, you f***ing up, man. This Donald here, man. I'm in the press box at the Utah State UNLV game, watching my old school, and they told me you're a diehard Raider fan, so I'm like, call my boy up, let me holler at him, and you ain't answering the f***ing phone, Lloyd.
That's a fun voicemail to get. Hey, Lloyd, what were you like hanging out with the family when you pulled up the voicemail and you're like, uh-oh, he sounds upset at me.
Yeah, I think I had just gotten done doing some yard work. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, who's this with Scotty?
I did text Lloyd. I'm like, check your voicemail right now.
I'm like, wow, this guy sounds mad.
You might want to avoid Donald Penn for a while.
Oh, it was so good, though. What? He's like, you want me to call him again? I'm like, no, that's all right. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hands, we're hanging out here at Tri-Day Trading.
The best. These guys are just the best. And if you're looking to make money, if you have to stay at home, if you're a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, if you just recently lost your job or you were furloughed or you've got a fear of losing your job and you want to work from home, that's what you can do with Tri-Day Trading. That's why Alema loves it. That's why you and I love it. We can set our own clock. You know, we can get up at 6:30 in the morning when things are really active. We can trade a little bit later in the evening. You can do it on your own time in your own house. And guess what? If the market collapses and you can't trade anymore, we might as well all pack it up anyways. Like, it's over. You can do this through a pandemic. You can do this through illness. You can do this from a hospital bed if you've got to. Get yourself prepared by becoming a part of TriDayTrading.com. And if you go to TriDayTrading.com, you're going to see that 30-day trial. click on it. It's $10. It's a $10 donation that goes to charity. And they put you in the market for 30 days with Funny Money. They give you the software, the personalized coaching, and you get to see how it works for you. Go to TriDayTrading.com.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.